This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I was about to say here was a radio satire made years ago where they satirized old westerns on TV. And basically all you had was people walking around saying nonsensical things. And then you heard another thrill-packed adventure. And that was supposed to be funny. Showing something with no action. It doesn't matter. We're back on the Paracast. Jason Greaves, we're talking about UFOs, UFO photos, the UFO umbrella, and all that kind of thing. And trying to figure out what is really, really going on. Now, I like the second part of the title, Close Encounters Are Not Enough. How so?
Yeah, but really, again, that goes back further again to more than UFOs themselves. It goes down to experiences. And as you said before about Men in Black, my father had an experience with a man in black when he was a young boy in Liverpool. And I've wrote about it in the second book.
Well, tell us about it while you're on the air. We want to hear about that for sure.
Yeah. In the book is the illustration I did. My father, he's ex-military himself, so over the years, he's quite difficult to get things out of. And when I sort of broke into ufology and started digging deeper and deeper, I can remember sitting at home, and he just came out with it as we sat there, and he said, "Oh, I had a man in black incident when I was a young boy," and it took me a long time to get the full details, but basically, during the 1950s in Liverpool, he was at home playing in the living room. And this was before they had a TV, just had a wireless radio. My uncle and auntie were in the other room. And he was just running backwards and forwards, playing in the hallway leading up to the front door and the living room itself. And he said he was running towards the hallway, up to the door, and stopped because as he looked up, he said a tall, dark figure actually walked through the front door, actually sort of materialized. And he said the door was all locked up for the evening, you know, locks on it and everything. And he said, first impressions, he said to me, it looked like a pilot, like a World War II pilot. So I thought, oh, yeah, but over time, and I've got the description out of him, he was wearing a suit. This man, he said it was a man, and he was wearing a suit, and he had like a trilby hat, a real white face, plain. And he walked through the front door and beckoned him to follow him up the stairs, which, of course, he didn't. He did an about turn and ran back into the living room and told my auntie and uncle that were in the room, which they poo-pooed and said, no, you're just making it up. And when he ran back into the hallway, he said the figure had gone.
Wow, that is a really interesting experience. How old did you say he was then when that happened to him?
He said he was probably about 7-ish, probably round about that time, but it was during the 1950s. And I actually sat down with the information he gave me and did an illustration for the book, because obviously there's no photographs at the time. And when he saw the illustration I did for him, he was quite taken back with it. You know, he was quite, oh, that's what I saw.
Well, don't you think that's kind of amazing that happened to him around the same age as when you and your sister had the experience?
Yeah, yeah. And they do say experiences, etc., do run in families, and there are a lot of things happening like that, you know, through experiences in general.
Yeah, I think that's really fascinating. And they almost have this one that you were just talking about, it was almost like an apparition type of experience. So, you know, I wonder if the phenomena is connected somehow. It's hard not to think that maybe what people are experiencing as apparitions, maybe they are these aliens that have some kind of cloaking technology or something that allows them to be able to seemingly materialize or dematerialize.
Yeah, literally. Well, you hear people who have had experiences and they say they've been taken through windows and walls. And again, I think like you do, that people that see ghosts and apparitions, etc., could be seeing ETs. But I'm not ruling out that there are ghosts or apparitions. I just think they're on the same wavelength. Also, I've had people that have contacted me saying they've had beings or whatever actually come into the room that they were in. But one person said that a huge elephant walked in the room.
Elephant?
And then later on, it manifested into a grey. So, again, it goes back. I think they actually portray or put a thought into your mind that you would see what you would actually be comfortable seeing instead of an ET, say. Because the gentleman that had the elephant that walked in the room used to like going to zoos and seeing the animals. So it goes back to that side.
I wanted to bring something up because you talk about this, seeing what you want to see. And that goes back to some theories about UFOs and co-creation theory and collective unconscious, that what you perceive to be a UFO is a UFO because you want and or expect to see one. We live in a sci-fi culture that if you saw the same thing 200 years ago, things would be vastly different. Just like they saw airships in the early days of trying to develop heavier than air flight.
Yeah, I agree. Even down to the ships. I mean, some people like to see nuts and bolts, and they'll be happy if they see a nuts and bolts. But again, ufology is now with more people waking up to this phenomena as such. That, you know, you're talking interdimensional ships, craft, ships that will actually morph in shape. I know Peter Maxwell Slattery, he actually has got footage of one that is actually morphing into different shapes. So, you know, we've got to think bigger than just nuts and bolts. You know, it's a bigger thing out there, you know, and you've got to think if there are ET races out there, they're going to be far in advance of anything we've got, you know, because we're still using rockets as such to go into space and to the moon, and, you know, it's way beyond that now.
Of course, then there, play devil's advocate a bit here with that. But before I do, I just want to acknowledge what you were saying about Peter Maxwell Slattery, because that was one of the videos on the YouTube that I went and checked out that people should go and check out, because that interview is pretty interesting. And now, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, we're getting out there into fringe ufology, and yet you're going, well, people do have some pretty strange experiences. What am I supposed to make of this? It's a pretty interesting interview that you've got with him there. And so I was wanting to get into talking about that. But at the same time, when we get into talking about things like morphing UFOs and that sort of thing, well, really, something like active camouflage, and we're developing very similar technology to that right now, where we can make things look like whatever we want them to look like using different forms of technology. So, I mean, this goes back to Star Trek. They have the cloaking device. Well, if you've got a cloaking device, you can really extend that a little bit further and say, okay, well, I can make it like a hologram. I can make it look like our ship, a nuts and bolts ship, is anything we want it to look like. So it could still be solid nuts and bolts technology, just giving the illusion of magic.
Yeah, but a clever. I mean, even down to when I left the Air Force in 96, and at that time they were starting to develop paint for the aircraft, where if it flew over land, it would go green to the land environment. If it flew over the sea, it would go to the color of the sea. So, you know, even down to paint schemes, it's not just cloaking devices.
We'll talk more about cloaking devices or not. Jason, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state. Until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Every time they talk cloaking devices, I can't help but think of Klingon, bird of prey, the Romulans. But you see, yeah, it's very interesting here when we talk about inventions, how Star Trek, it wasn't the only sci-fi adventure that did this, predicted the communicator, the mobile phone, the tricorder, your Apple Watch or your iPhone or Galaxy S10 or something like that.
Yeah.
Science is experimenting with matter transportation, the transporter. Science is looking into warp drive. And, of course, in the Star Trek lexicon, warp drive happens in the middle of the 21st century when there's some guy named Zephyr Cochrane. You've heard that legend.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, Gene Roddenberry for the Star Trek side, you know, he must have had some inside information because the actual devices, like you've just mentioned, are out now where we're just in his science fiction programs like Star Trek and that. So way in advance.
Well, you know, now you can raise the really wild, wacky theory. Gene Roddenberry may have been privy to reverse engineered technology from the crashed spaceship at Roswell or somewhere else. I mean, that's an ultimate conspiracy theory. From 1947 through the mid-60s when Star Trek premiered, no, it couldn't be.
They just had some really good writers, some science fiction writers, and some really creative people writing for them.
Yeah. And, well, like you say, though, the actual, you know, equipment and the mobile phones and everything that we're using now, and, you know, a lot of people rely on them now, going way back. Arthur C. Clarke, he was the same. He knew an awful lot. He knew about the internet way in advance of it coming, you know, full fold.
And look how fast it's happened, too. So, you know, really, when you start looking at the rate of acceleration of technology, maybe we're not that far behind them. Maybe within the next, like Gene was just saying, within the next 100 years, we'll be catching up to them. And that's why they started to take an interest in us back in the '40s, because they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be joining the Galactic Federation before long, maybe even within our lifetime, if we're lucky.
They'll sense the warp signature of the Vulcans. And we'll have first. No, that is silly. But on the other hand, it's also possible that when we achieve a certain level of development, we may meet somebody who may be around now and doesn't really want to meet us. Or what we attract may not be what we want to attract.
Yes. Yeah. Stephen Hawking did say that about ETs, didn't he? Saying, you know, do you really want to go looking out there because they might be nasty?
Yeah, he kind of warned us the other way. Well, you know, be careful what you ask for. But, you know, with this Peter Maxwell Slattery, like, what do you really make of him? Like, how much of his photographs, for example, have you looked at? Or have you been privy to any actual of his real life experiences? Or
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. I've done an awful lot of analysis. Really, I sort of came across him through Mary Rodwell when he had a regression session with her. Again, it was one of the many videos I was watching, and I sort of contacted him, read his books, and then watching the videos. And again, with it being the image side to it, that's when I realized that he had some really good footage, and it was worthwhile taking the time to go over them and really bring out the best detail I could. And then I realized it wasn't just craft. He was actually filming and photographing. He was having the experiences where they were beings coming into his house. But then he had footage of it as well to back up. You know, he says blatantly to everybody that, you know, he doesn't care if you believe him or not. He just wants to get out the information that he's been getting. Obviously, the big explosion more really when he's gone to James Gilliland, the SETI ranch near Mount Adams. Again, it's a bit of a hot spot there. Everyone that goes there would probably think they would see something from the footage I've analysed anyway. And there was a case with Peter where he had a grey that was actually peering around the corner. If you go onto his webpage, there's a video that I've analysed for him and filtered it so you can actually see. And it looks like a grey, the typical alien grey type of being. And it's peering around the corner as he set up a camera in his house. So, yeah, I do genuinely think he's up in the top 1% with sightings and footage and information and backup he's got that, you know, backs up everything he's really saying.
Yeah, it was a really interesting interview, but yeah, a part of me, okay, part of, and this is a confession for all the people out there who are the believers. And it's not that I'm not a believer. I've seen my own. I've had my own sighting. I've had lots of weird stuff happen. And yet when I start hearing the stuff that's kind of like, to me, way out there, I kind of go, well, how come we've got these people who claim to, you know, have gone on to actual starships to do lectures to people about, and then come back and say that I'm a contact. We still have those people. We've had them on the show. We have people like Peter Slattery, who's been interviewed. Why don't we have some definitive material, scientifically verifiable evidence besides sort of, well, kind of vague pictures that we can't really say for sure. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. You're like really like everybody else. You want to see something credible, nuts and bolts type of thing. And again, that's really where ufology is taking the next step. It's gone further again because now we're talking interdimensional craft. We're talking, you know, things a lot more out of the realms of what we're normally thinking of. But when I analyze footage, I like to look at images and I try to go into depth of that actual case that I'm working on. I'll go into as much as I can. If I can't do it, I certainly know somebody who probably could help me in the ufology community as a whole. But, I mean, even down to some of the craft, I mean, you've heard the expression where people say after a UFO has been seen or witnessed, they see a substance called angel hair.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Well, when I've researched into that, without going too deep into it, scientists all around the world have analyzed this substance, and they call it spider's webs. They called it all kinds, but nobody has actually come up with an actual what it actually is. But part of a substance within this angel hair is a substance called boron. Now, boron is actually used in protecting nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that's just another, you know, corridor going down the route of saying, is the craft ET or is it man-made?
Let's go into more of this. And I have a question about angel hair in the next segment. Jason Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Supreme Court has ruled that President Trump can use $2.5 billion in military money to build part of his border wall. The suit argued that the administration violated federal law and only Congress can allocate funds. The administration has gotten an agreement that might help stem the flow of migrants.
It's a very important signature.
The president spoke of the Guatemalan interior minister as he signed a safe third country agreement, which will grant asylum to those who seek it so that they don't have to continue further north. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan says it would affect asylum seekers coming up from countries south of Guatemala.
So if they arrive in the U.S. not having availed themselves of that opportunity, they'll be returned to Guatemala.
Days earlier, President Trump threatened to impose a severe penalty if Guatemala didn't agree to the deal.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The angel hair. We used to read about that all the time in the early days of the UFO field, but not so much recently. Jason?
No, because I think it goes back to the early craft. Now, the early craft were probably experimental craft by the military, which were using nuclear reactors or nuclear power as the source of energy. Now, a substance that is part of the angel hair is that boron, and it's a rare substance. Now, that substance, like I said, is for in use, generally in use, to protect against nuclear reactors.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I'm actually right now, you know, this is just what I'll do. I'll go, oh, well, I wonder if spider webs have boron. And they've got an article here. It's called How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Radioactive Spider Webs. And there's spiders that create webbing that have boron that help protect them from nuclear radiation. I mean, it's,
there you go.
You know, it's amazing the stuff that you can find out there if you go look, right?
Yeah, that's what I find if I'm digging. I generally, you know, I'll close one door, but another three will open.
But that doesn't mean this stuff isn't happening, and that material stuff isn't happening. Like you know what we're talking about. You know, it's almost like what this phenomena is doing is saying, okay, we're going to show you we're here, but we're not going to give you any material evidence. And then we're going to study what you make of that and see what you do with it and how you interpret it.
Yeah. See where you end up.
Okay, yeah, so we're part and parcel of an alien psychology experiment.
Yeah, that seems to me, well, to me what it's adding up to, because it's all about our behavior. These craft seem to
initiate behavior on the part of us by behaving in a certain way and seeing what we do in response to it, whether it's lights or flying around and having them be chased by jets and then evading the jets. But they do it in a way that elicits a certain kind of a response from us.
Yeah.
But you know something here? What that also may indicate is the aliens are playing games with us. Maybe alien kids are doing that. Let's play around with those silly humans and see what they do. We can't really ascribe motives to alien beings if that's what they are. We don't know how they think. We don't know what they want to do with us or whether they care one way or the other.
This is it, yeah. They could actually be turning up on a joyride.
I think if they were that irresponsible, though, we would have got the evidence because humans are pretty smart.
It may mean that they just don't care. They think we're so primitive that they can do just about anything they want.
They would have slipped up then. Well, maybe they did. Maybe Roswell, it was a real crash, you know? Maybe their joyriding was just, they went a little too far that day.
That was some drunk aliens, you know, on Romulan ale. They drank that Romulan ale smuggled in from the neutral zone. That's how they did it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's way more complex than all of that. I mean, these are fun things to talk about, of course.
Mm.
Jason, for you, what's your take on all of this? Because, see, what it's done with you, like many of the rest of us, Gene included, is your experience and your wonderment about the phenomena has led you into a lifelong search for answers.
Mm, yeah, the jigsaw puzzle and piece by piece, it's going together. To be fair, I don't think it's that far from completion. And the people I come across, which I would never have dreamt of speaking to before, people from all over the world who come to me with stories and experiences, and they've never met each other. I mean, a good example, there was a lady that come to me from Hungary, and I don't think they had internet and stuff. You know, it was an older couple, but it was when they had marks on their body and they couldn't explain these marks, and they were like a red, a bit like a bullseye sort of crosshair marking on their arm, and they couldn't explain how they got it. But the thing that was amazing, really, was another person come forward with exactly the same marking in the same position in the next village, which this other person never ever went to, didn't know that person in the village. So again, it goes back. It's another category of the, you know, ufology umbrella is people where they have markings on their body and unexplainable markings.
Maybe that's why they don't come down, because they have some explaining to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these people to be going, you know, whether they were really abducted or not, that they'd either be getting blamed for something they didn't do, or they'd be getting blamed for something they did do. So there's no real good outcome for them. If they land and everybody goes, yeah, they're here for sure, so many people are going to have so many questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many insurance claims.
or would they call it an act of God? I guess, you know, can you really call aliens an act of God?
Well, then we go back to ancient astronauts. I want to ask you, because we're going to go catch as catch can here, because we have a segment and a third left. I'm going to ask you a few things, maybe offbeat from photos. Astronauts, do you think maybe strange things happened a couple thousand years ago that may or may not be related to what's going on now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, more with the ancient aliens and TV programs similar to that are making people more aware. But you've got the depictions worldwide, unexplained depictions of they look like ET and things like that. You know, extraterrestrial in origin, they've got long, thin bodies with helmets on. You've got statues, and you go through the world, you know, through all the old civilizations that were here, all unexplainable, but again, it's all history that's not being brought forward and taught to people at schools and universities, etc., where you know, this is the real history and it's been kept from people.
If aliens visited us then, could they have seeded humankind?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Again, I mean, you can listen to that many people in conferences around the world, and you see them on YouTube where they'll talk about ancient aliens and what their interpretation of what happened, or they've got proof or they've got documentation. Again, it's really down to the person watching it, to what they actually believe or not believe or led to believe. Yeah, that definitely could happen, because that is over the new book, like we explained, it's on Close Encounters. So there's 7 categories of Close Encounters, and you know, you can go through them all. I can briefly go through what they are if you want me to.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you got CE1, which is Close Encounters 1.
Let me just pause for a second. We have about 50 seconds left, so we'll cover some in this segment, then in our final segment. Jason?
Oh, okay. Well, I will go into more depth, but CE7, that's in which a human and extraterrestrial mate sexual intercourse or artificial insemination to produce a hybrid being. So that explains really what you've just said.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, as a ufologist, I'm missing this whole CE7 thing in my classification rating. So this is a little bit newer. You know, for us, it goes up to 4, and then that can kind of include all of that other stuff. So I guess there's some people that have just added some extras on there, depending on the specific nature.
Break time. Let's, I have something that can break. I should break a pencil or something to have the sound effect. Jason, Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Can somebody help me? I think my air conditioner's dying.
Nurse, I need a compressor and a condenser coil. Stat.
Sounds serious.
Doctor, it's losing pressure, and the blower motor is unresponsive.
Sounds expensive.
That depends. Do you have an American Home Shield home warranty?
No.
Well, then I'm afraid I have some bad news.
Before your next home system and appliance breakdown, be sure you call American Home Shield. We help cover the cost when major components of up to 21 home systems and appliances die. Either we'll come to your home and repair them, or we'll replace them, no matter their age, including your AC, washer, oven, electrical, and plumbing. For a free quote, call 1-800-700-4350. Be sure your budget's protected. Be sure with the Shield, American Home Shield. For a free quote on flexible plans to meet your needs and budget, call 1-800-700-4350. That's 1-800-700-4350.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal. At GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have a CE7, what about a 6.5, and etc.?
Yeah, well, you got number one. Do you want me to explain them to you in more detail?
Well, we want to go beyond 3 and 4.
Okay. Well, you got 1 and 2, which are your basic sighting. So that's a sighting in which one or more UFOs, aerial phenomenon described as sources or similar description. It's not attributed to known modern day tech, unexplained lights, and the most common sighting anyway. Then you've got CE2, which is UFO. It's been witnessed or seen, associated known and sometimes unknown phenomena. So it's either known with maybe an aircraft or a helicopter accompanying it, crop circles, terrain or landscape damage.
I'm just going to go with you along with this just for the sort of the mainstream too. So and I'll be very brief and mm-hmm. then we can continue. So I've got first, we've got limited to visual observation. Second, includes lasting environmental interaction or disruption, which is what you're describing now. So let's continue.
Okay, and then you've got scarred or mutilated animals, livestock, electronic or mechanical interference or damage, catalepsy, which is a form of trance state, paralysis or a body seizures or some form of unnatural physical occurrence.
Okay, that's a different one. I'm talking about the Hynek Valley system here, which is kinds of close encounter experiences out of the UFO experience, you know, from QFOs. And so when we get into that sort of thing, now we've suddenly moved up to the fifth in that scale. So
a lot of them actually cross over into each other, because when you try and put something pigeonhole a sighting into one of the categories, you'll find that it covers quite a few of the categories.
It can. Yes, you're absolutely right about that. They're just general categories. But then, okay, so let's go. We go up to third, includes the observation of animated entities, some kind of aliens. Fourth includes interaction with them in some way, shape, or form. And fifth includes positive or negative physical changes to the witness. And then that could include from there, I got impregnated or whatever. So then in the system that you're working with there, you're taking it up to the sixth and seventh levels.
Yeah, like number six is, it's generally the inhabitants, they directly cause injury or death. It doesn't just occur, really. Again, that goes back to the mutilation side of it, because there are examples and instances where humans have been actually, you know, killed by so-called UFOs and things that are cases.
Lasers. Absolutely. There's definitely, you know, that counts as negative physical changes, I would say.
So that's what I mean. A lot of them actually are very, very close and interactive with each other. So I found that with the book when I was putting a case forward, it wasn't just CE1, it'd be CE1, CE3, you know, and like that. So
interesting. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. It should be very interesting to check your book out, because this field itself tends to change, and how people look at these various categories also seems to shift and change over time. So it's definitely worth checking out from that perspective. Gotta get into, and you mentioned this just a little while ago, crop circles. Now, we've seen some videos of like spheres of light, like glowing orbs going around in fields and then creating crop. Have you looked at those or analyzed any of those?
Yeah, I've had a look into it. Obviously, it interests me. I go down to Wiltshire from time to time. It's obviously a great place for crop circles. It's not my expertise side. It interests me greatly. But the interesting thing for me is really the way the crop circles are formed. Obviously, like you said, people see lights, and then later on they'll go and there's a crop circle there, some description. When you actually analyze going into the stalk of the grain or whatever, the crop that's been felled by the whatever has caused the crop circle to be made, you look at the nodes, they're called the nodes within the actual stalk of the grain, and you'll find on original, whether you class them original or faked crop circles, because there are people that go out and fake them too.
Oh, yeah, we know that, you know.
Yeah.
There's a few that are a little harder to explain.
But you have to explain the actual crop itself when it's felled, if it is a real crop circle, that the nodes, which are sort of like in between
like
the joint in the actual stem, that they're not actually broken. They're actually just like the fluid or wherever it's inside is forced out and it's not broken. So the actual crop will continue to grow. Yeah, it's a very interesting, but again, it's another subject vastly out there on its own.
So what's in store for your future? What is your kind of your future plans? And you've got this one book out. Are you going to be doing any talks soon?
I'm hopefully planning on doing some talks. Or starting to talk, because I don't really have done public talking before. So I feel that's the next stage. And obviously, I'm always thinking of the next book that I could bring out, because I also do the page that I write on my UFO-only page. And I also write for the Outer Limits magazine, do articles for them and such. So they've got a conference coming up in Pontefract in the UK here. So that'll be a good talk, because Kelvin Parker's coming over for his one and only talk for his book through Philip Mantle. So that'll be interesting to hear him and his accounts.
And, of course, you've got the UFO-only YouTube channel as well, so we'll probably be seeing some more videos from you.
Yeah, I really brought that channel out, because through Facebook you couldn't actually put a lengthy video on there. It wouldn't allow you to put it on there. So I had to sort to put a link so people could see the videos that I'd actually analyzed. Yeah, I'm always trying to look for the next thing. If something comes my way and it warrants to go on there, I mean, because there's an awful lot that I don't actually put on there that doesn't get past me, sort of thing. And then the book that's just come out now, The Ufology Umbrella, that's the Flying Disc Press, Philip Mantle, and it's available on Amazon, as is the UFO photo.
Now, one thing we just only briefly brushed on, and that is that your wife came up with the name UFOnly. Do you work closely with her, and what sort of relationship do you have with each other with respect to your work?
Difficult, as in ufology, because she believes there are little green men, but that's as far as she'll go. but she is interested when I bring a book out, and a funny little story. She doesn't normally go to any conferences because I go to quite a few and talks and things like that. The only time she ever wanted to come to a talk with me was to the 50th anniversary of Erich von Däniken.
So, Jason, if our listeners want to know more about what you do, let's recap this. Where can they check you out?
They can get hold of me on my Facebook page, on Twitter, and Google Plus, UF only. I'm actually on Stella too. If they have any images or anything they need to discuss or analyze in, I'm happy to do it for them. Also, got my new book out, Ufology Umbrella, which is available through Flying Disc Press, Philip Mantle, and available on Amazon. And my first book is also available, UFO Photo.
Hey, this has been really a fun session with Jason. He's going to be back. Okay? That's what they say with James Bond. James Bond will be back. Jason Greaves will be back. You can find more stuff about us if you go to Twitter and look for the Paracast. On Facebook, there are two Paracast community, group, whatever's, and we're thinking what's going to happen with Facebook after paying that tiny little $5 billion fine, which is like me dropping a penny in comparison to how things work there. We have the Paracast Plus, which is the best way to listen and support the show. We offer a version of the show free of the network ads, better quality audio, and the After the Paracast podcast, which can be a continuation, color commentary, exclusive interviews like with Morgan Knudsen, who's due for the next edition of After the Paracast. Don't forget, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com for more information. Jason Greaves, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Great, I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you very much.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.